Hey, Taylor, you know there are a million ways to run a restaurant. Every chef has their own spin on things. But no matter who you are or how you cook, you need a good point of sale. And it boggles my mind how many places don't.
Derek, you know, this reminds me of that exact conversation you had with that struggling and overworked restaurant hospitality group executive. You recently talked to them about their issues with this exact same problem off the air before the show.
Yeah, I just don't get it. It's so simple. With Cake, which is the point of sale system that lets bar and restaurant owners focus on the guest experience, they can stop worrying about tracking every sale. Cake does that for you. You can automatically save information and review it later from anywhere. That means you can actually take days off, which can be pretty rare in the restaurant business. I don't know about you, but with Cake, you actually spend time with your family without worrying about adding up last night's sales. I mean, who wants to do that anymore?
Really?
I told them to go to trycake.com/smallbites and take a look for themselves. Cake makes it easy.
Sounds simple enough to me.
It is. And get this. To get started with Cake, when you go to trycake.com/smallbites, you and our listeners can get $750 off the activation fee. That's a 75% discount. And with that discount, you get a user-friendly point-of-sale solution that includes cloud reporting and world-class 24/7 support.
That's amazing.
My saying is, take a look at trycake.com/smallbites and get your own slice of cake.
Derek, I couldn't have said it better myself. Trycake.com/smallbites and get your own slice of cake.
Welcome to Small Bites Radio with Donato Marino and Derek Tim. We hope you're hungry.
Round spaghetti you can eat with a spoon. Oh, SpaghettiOs.
Hit it.
Where's the beef?
Cookie.
He likes it!
Nothing for you! Nothing for you! Nothing for you!
Feed me more!
As long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans, babe.
Welcome everybody to Small Bites
with who?
With Derek Tim and Donato Marino. The ghost of Glenn Gross.
We had a little, for those listening live, Glenn popped back in for a few seconds in the introduction, but our man over there, Taylor, is going to edit that out for all the future listeners. But
I was getting worried. I was ready to look over my shoulder.
Don was wondering if he was going to get pulled out of studio for a second.
I was going to get popped.
Well, there are a lot of Italians in the studio, so we got to watch out. But we do have the man who's always just full of knowledge and gives us all the hip and hot happenings in South Jersey and Pennsylvania, our man John Howard Fusco of the nightlife correspondent for the Courier Post and also a fantastic blog that was recognized by the New York Times, Eaton in South Jersey. How's it going tonight, John?
Evening, guys. How are we all doing this evening?
Great. Oh.
Good, good. Awesome. So first we got to report the news that everybody has wanted to hear. Federal Donuts now has a breakfast sandwich. They just start serving this on Monday. It's a fried egg, cheese, and bacon. Served with a sweet and spicy cherry pepper relish on a potato roll.
See, prayers do get answered after Ash Wednesday. They must have heard it.
A little kick in the morning, so Feral Donuts has now entered the breakfast sandwich market. Two new food stops are coming to the Reading Terminal Market. This is according to Eater Philly. We have Carreta's Caribbean Cuisine and Umi Seafood and Sushi Bar. They'll be opening in the spring and in the summer, respectively. So two new stops to look for in the Reading Terminal Market coming up. And then right by the Italian market, we have a new Indonesian restaurant called Jembatan 5, and this will be opening very soon. This is also according to Eater Philly, so look for that opening soon. Al Rayyan Food Market has opened on the corner of 43rd and Samson. This is according to West Philly Local Blog. This is a Middle Eastern market with a restaurant featuring organic produce and halal foods. Over on the Jersey side of things, our friend Marilyn Johnson over at Philly Grub reported this week that La Scala's Fire opened its second location in Glassboro on Rowan Boulevard. Look for a summer opening for the newest addition to Tennessee Avenue in Atlantic City, the Orange Loop. This place will be called Rhythm and Spirits. According to the press of Atlantic City, the location will be a live music venue that will feature pizza and cocktails. And staying in Atlantic City, some sad news to report. Little Water Distillery's co-founder Eric Ganter passed away this past week. Ganter was only 45 years old. The distillery will continue to go on, but that is some unexpected sad news to hear out of Little Water Distillery. So we have these articles and more to talk about this past week in Philly Food. Be posted later tonight on my blog and shared on Twitter at @EatingInSJersey. And as always, hashtag SmallBitesRadio.
Oh, thank you very much, John. And John, just a quick second, because we don't, as much as we get to hear from you every single show, we don't get to actually talk to you. So you live in the Ocean County area, correct?
That is correct.
What would you say is the best go-to restaurant in that area?
Best go-to restaurant in Ocean County? Well, you know what? There are a number of places. It really depends on what you're looking for. I would say for all-around good stuff, and this is, unfortunately, it's only breakfast and lunch. It's not open for dinner. I wish they were, but I love Shut Up and Eat in Toms River.
Well, I at least like the name.
It's for your value, for breakfast, for lunch. There's no better place to go. Everyone's dressed as in pajamas if you're showing up on your mom's house on a Saturday morning. All the utensils are mismatched. The walls are dressed like it's like the refrigerator door, you know, chic. It's all these mismatched tchotchkes and everything, but service is awesome. Food is great. Consistently always good. So off the top of my head, I'll give that the nod.
That is great. See, and this is why it's good to get these little tidbits, because I have never heard of Shut Up and Eat, but it's definitely piqued my interest with the description he gave with pajamas and mismatched the cutlery and silverware. That sounds like a fun time. And the last thing before you go, it's starting to get a little bit warmer, which I'm happy about, which means it's shore season. And what should everybody do before they head down the shore, or even any time of the year, truly, but shore season in particular?
Yeah, what they really should do, they should read up on their Cape May food history by getting a Culinary History of Cape May book, which I issued out back in spring of 2017, and still 99.9% accurate. You can find it at Amazon.com and local bookstores around the area. So absolutely, check it out if you're into food history. If you enjoy Cape May, definitely worth checking out.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, John. It was a pleasure talking to you this week, and we look forward to hearing from you again on March 24th. Have a good one.
All right. You too. Take care, John.
See ya. See, I felt bad, Don, because John made the whole trek in here last week. He hung out with the other guys, and we didn't have a show last week.
Yeah.
And it's like, darn. We talked to him every single week, and the one show, the one week he was able to make it in, we stiffed him and didn't show up.
Baby's trying to tell us.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's just like that. But we got some individuals in studio who are all about family, and they want everybody
and food
and make sure everybody's comfortable and having a good time. And they wouldn't stiff somebody who's coming to visit for a 2-hour drive away, would you?
Never.
And in studio, we have Lisa and Mike Lorenzo, and they are the owner-operator of Lorenzo's Ristorante Italiano at 4741 Princeton Avenue in the Tacony section of wonderful Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I've even heard that they got some good espresso there.
I think they do.
Really?
Yeah, they get it from a really reputable company.
We know a guy.
You know a guy.
We know a guy. I know a guy.
Straight from Italy.
I got a guy.
But they also have, more importantly, fresh, made every single day. at the restaurant food. Because get this, no freezer, no microwave.
No microwave.
No.
There's not a lot of restaurants out there that can claim that. So why don't we start with that, Mike? Because before we started the show, it seems as though you have a position towards the microwave oven. And it's a personal conviction more than anything. So is that the true feeling of why there's no microwave at the restaurant? Or was the true definition of the restaurant to always be fresh, that anybody who comes in there knows that it was made before they came?
Well, it's actually made as they come in.
That's even better. Order. That's even better.
Everything's made fresh right on the spot.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of microwaves, as you can tell. I think it ruins food, especially my customers, when they take their food home, the leftovers. I tell them, please don't put it in a microwave. Put it in the oven. Let it warm up slowly. It'll taste better.
And I would agree with that as well, that the microwave in no way can compete with freshly cooked food. But there's times when time does not permit the use of an oven or something like that. Or say you're an office worker. Because if you're in Center City and you're taking whatever you had for lunch, it's going to be sort of difficult to find at the office an oven. Like, well, Mike told me I can't microwave it. Where's the oven?
No excuses. I don't want to hear it.
You wouldn't even know how to work a microwave.
I don't even want to hear it.
But give us a little bit of history and what Lorenzo's Ristorante Italiano is all about, because it is family run, family operated. What was behind the opening and what's going on there?
Well, what happened was I was a contractor prior to this. I built the place as a coffee shop prior.
Wasn't in concrete, was it? Cement?
No.
Just shoes.
That's my side job. So the place became vacant. I know the owner. I called him up. He said, you want to do something with it? I said, yeah. I called my wife, who grew up in the restaurant business. Her parents used to own Spinelli's restaurant back in the day in Northeast Philly. She said, yeah, let's do it. We'll make food and, you know, dinners and stuff like that. And one thing I always want it fresh. I'm very particular when I go out to eat.
And at home, too,
yes. But I always want it fresh because a lot of places I go to, you can tell it's been in the freezer for 3 weeks.
Nothing's worse than that.
Yeah, like chicken parm or veal. I'm a veal guy. I can eat veal every night. And I went through everything fresh. And we saw a ton of meatballs out of there. And people always, oh, you should freeze them this way you have them on it. I make them every day. I make a batch every day. Our gravy, not sauce, our gravy is made every day.
We have another show on that.
I go down 7:30 in the morning. And it cooks for 8 to 10 hours before I use it.
Wow. And it's obviously a culture thing, and I'm sure Don can speak to this.
I had no idea what you're talking about.
That the Italians love to eat and make sure that there's plenty of food around for everyone. Because my wife is Italian. And there's no if and or buts about it that if somebody's coming over the house, that there's not only going to be enough food, there will be too much food.
That's correct.
Plenty of food.
Plenty of food.
Have lunch and dinner for the next 3 days.
Yep. That's correct.
And you say, well, we only have 4 or 5 people coming over. Why we have 4 or 5 trays? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we have just as many trays as we do people.
Yep.
But it is a culture that you want to embrace people to come and have fresh food and have enough of it, feel comfortable, feel full, and enjoy themselves.
I've eaten at Mike's place plenty of times, and the portions are very well.
You'll never leave hungry.
Yeah, yeah.
And that also, running a business, it's not easy to have that mentality, because having that mentality, you always have to look at costs. So even though you personally want to do that, there's always the cost, but you're willing to take that hit in profit in order for it to be that sort of experience at your restaurant.
Yeah, the one thing that's good, too, is I know every day what I have to order. So by Sunday, we close at 1 o'clock on Sundays, I hardly have any waste. So I'm very good as far as figuring out, you know, what we need for the week. And you know what? If I run out, you know, I bring so much veal in a day. If I run out, I run out.
Yeah.
And people know, now that when they make reservations, they know, Mike, you know, there's seven of us coming in, six of us won't feel, so I'll bring more in. But at least they know everything's fresh. And I think that's why we're one of the reasons we've been there 3 years and we're doing very well. We're 5-star rated on Yelp. Yeah. We won an award 3 years in a row from Yelp for being 5-star rated.
And that's amazing because love it or hate it, Yelp has its detractors as well as
double-edged sword.
It's a double-edged sword. And also with Yelp, it's pretty much a testament to you because a lot of restaurateurs will say you get the trolls on Yelp, as they call them, and they'll give you a 1-star review just for and giggles. Just,
exactly.
Yeah, but what they don't realize, Derek, is that I'll find out where they live, and 1-star will be removed. I know a guy.
So now there's the secret to the 5-star review.
You should never said nothing.
Now, we just got we have one that gave us a 2-star rating. It still kept us 5-star because we have so many, 5-star ratings. But I was upset about it. I really was, and I responded to the guy. He never responded back to me. But I was truly upset because, he's saying the restaurant's small. We use box macaroni. I never said I use fresh pasta to begin with. And he criticized my chicken parm, which we sell a lot.
That's a no-no. Yeah. That's a no-no.
And I go up to every table after I cook it. It's an open kitchen. And I check on every table every time.
Well, I think, and that's a testament to yourself as well, because there are a lot of restaurants out there that won't even respond.
Yeah.
And once you respond, the onus is on the other individual.
Right.
And shame on them for not reaching back out to you, because I've had a similar experience like that where when I was actually working with Ed Hitzel and he would send me out to do reviews and it was all anonymous. I went out and published it. Well, one time we gave someone a 1-star review. I won't say it on air, but this individual wrote us an email, said, listen, tell me the time you were there. Tell me what happened. We're going to look into it. They looked into it, found out, okay, yeah, it was a ban on our part. We're putting a memo on every single employee's paycheck that week. We're sending it out to remind them every single day for the next month. And you guys come back in unannounced again, and we'll make sure that it's good next
time.
That's
the way to handle it. Yeah.
And we did go back, and it was fantastic.
That's good.
With our next visit.
That's good business, too.
Because mistakes do happen. It's bound.
It's going to happen.
See, I'm the only one who cooks, so I don't make mistakes.
That's okay.
And I won't. My son, he wants to help me cook and stuff like that. I won't let nobody else cook. I'm the only one. She'll tell you. I'm the only one who cooks.
But mistakes are bound
to happen.
They will happen.
Yes.
They will happen.
But like I said, if I go up to your table and ask you, is everything okay, don't hide behind your phone. Tell me right there so I can adjust it right there.
Exactly.
I could compensate here or whatever.
Exactly.
And
that's a good business owner to say, we're going to take care of it. We're going to make sure you're happy when you're leaving. And that's why you're getting 5-star reviews.
Right.
And a large portion of these reviews are because of these handmade meatballs every single day.
Yep.
You brought some in studio. Delicious stuff.
Very good. Very good. And I understand they made number one restaurant in Tacony.
Yes.
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah, on ABC and was it ABC.com or whatever, Channel 6 News.
Mm-hmm.
That we didn't even know it. A customer came in for that reason. And see, yeah,
we saw you on the news.
But
why?
We had no idea. So we looked it up, and here we were the number one in Tacony.
It wasn't an investigation, was it?
We don't need to go there. So, and social media, we get a lot. That Yelp is bringing a lot of new customers in.
Yeah.
People go by that.
And that's what Don said. It's a double-edged sword.
Yes, it is.
With social media and the internet and things. Because
Facebook helps us a lot also.
Yeah. And definitely. You get individuals that you probably have never seen without that, because the word can get out a lot easier.
It does.
But at the same time, a bad word
can get out even faster.
Because it's the old, if
it's
something's good, you tell 4 people, something bad, you tell 50.
That's the truth.
Exactly. And social media has only made that explode.
Yep.
But also, you guys are known, it's cozy. But not only is it cozy, if you wanted to elevate your experience a little bit at Lorenzo's, you have a VIP party room available for guests as well.
Yes, sir. Right upstairs. Up, we hold up to 50 people upstairs.
Wow.
Comfortable.
So that is quite a party room for 50 people. So what's, how did this come about? Was it always part of the plan to have a private room? Because I personally like a private room. I don't know. Do you like to go to private dining areas, Don? Some people hate it.
I don't mind them at all.
Yeah. It provides a different sort of feeling and setting, and you sort of feel important for a minute.
Exactly. Roll out the red carpet.
Exactly. So what is it just strictly just to be booked? Is there a different menu for the VIP? Is there a different experience?
No. We do a banquet type thing up there. Because
parties.
Yeah, it's hard to cook for 50 people at one shot.
Oh, yeah.
So we book parties and stuff like that. What it is, our building is an old converted house. The downstairs was converted into a restaurant, and the upstairs was a two-bedroom apartment, and then I gutted it, and then we made one big open room there.
Wow.
And we've been doing a lot of parties up there. We did three this week, and people love it. You know, they go up there, they can curse, do whatever they want. And they're not affecting anybody downstairs or anything like that.
Yeah, they're not interfering with another paying customer's experience.
Right, and they love it.
It's, you know, we hold 30 seats downstairs, and it gets loud down there because it's small. And you get some people, you know, giving dirty looks and all that. And you know what? People work hard all week. They want to come out. They can talk as loud as they want.
And if they don't know an Italian family by now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Not only going to get loud, you got to watch it too. Yeah. Those hand gestures, you might get slapped.
But, you know, you want to talk loud, talk loud. You know, as long as you ain't cursing and stuff like that. You know,
yeah, as long as it's not inappropriate.
Right, exactly. But people have a good time. They get hammered. We get them hammered. We give them shots of Sambuca, homemade chocolate cello, you know, and We want everybody to feel like family there.
That's
and
good.
Most people,
it's
if
homey.
You look at our reviews.
It's close. It's homey.
Yeah.
If you look at our reviews, they say that.
There's people
I felt
that
like
actually
I was
help
kitchen.
Out with the people that came in. They came in. Like one table's here, one table's over here. Now they come in together.
Yeah.
They met at the restaurant. Now they all come in together.
Oh,
they said they felt like they were at a wedding. That's, so it's really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool
in
there.
A different experience.
Now, also with the party room, is that because you guys are also well known for Lisa having readings at the location? Do you hold these in the main dining room, or is it held in the VIP
room?
VIP room.
I do them not all the time, maybe once a month.
Okay.
I am booked out. I do private parties at the people's homes. I do individual readings at my house.
Yeah, tell them what you are, honey. They don't know. They think you're reading a book.
I'm reading a book. I'm a psychic medium.
Okay.
She's very good.
I've read Donato.
She read me.
I knew you were going to say that.
I did read him.
And some of the stuff that she brought up, there's no way she would have known. I mean, with my father coming through that time, and it was incredible. I was in tears.
Really?
He was.
Yeah.
He was. I had no idea. I've had it since I was a child, since I was 2 years old.
And how do people come to the event? Is it on Facebook? Do you have to call to make reservations? What's the process?
Well, I'll announce that I'm having an event.
Okay.
We'll have a pretty big following on Facebook. I have my own group.
What's your name on Facebook, honey?
It's, thank you, Mike.
Is that what it is? Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
That's right. 38 years together. She better thank me.
Meet my new assistant, Mike. It's Psychic Medium Readings by Lisa. I've been doing it forever. So when I started doing the events at the restaurant because I'm so overbooked that people were kind of getting a little bit mad at me that I don't get back to them or I can't get them in. So if you're, let's do a group of them.
Yeah.
So it just kind of holds them off a little bit. But I love it. And I can't describe, I mean, I know there's a lot of skeptics, but I can't even tell you the overwhelming feeling that I get.
Mm-hmm.
It's enormous amount of happiness. Like, that I can help somebody.
So let's go with a normal event. Say the next event. When is it?
I'm supposed to do one in March, but I'm not going to be able to make that one because I'm overbooked. So it'll be April, sometime in April.
So in April, say there is still room available.
Yes.
What's the price point for the event?
It's $75, and it includes the buffet and then a group reading. So when I do a group reading, even if I do someone's home when they have to have like 10 people, I never guarantee I can get to everybody.
Yeah.
Even if I have 10 or if I have 20, if I have 40. It's not up to me. I truly, spirit does take over me. Where I have to go, they pull me to where I need to go. And I start hearing things. It's almost like a dreamlike state or daydreaming.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know how to describe it. Like, I'm already hearing somebody. See, I'm starting to talk, and I can hear your father.
Of course. He was very,
very
dominant.
Strong. Yeah. So I lose my whole train. As soon as I talk about it, that's when I leave like the waitress at the restaurant, because I start waitressing and then I'm like, ugh, and I start talking to somebody and my vibrations go so high when I'm with somebody and people start coming through.
I'd have my spirits tell you to bring every meal to my table. Derek, see, I get served again.
Derek looks scared. My wife, she does. She helps so many people heal from grieving and stuff like that and make them feel. It's absolutely amazing. It really is. I'm her biggest fan.
He is.
It's amazing what she does.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that is quite an experience. And I think that is as well as why your restaurant has become such a destination point for Philadelphians.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are serving fresh food made every single day. No refrigerator. No microwave.
Not refrigerator. No freezer.
No freezer.
We got a refrigerator.
Well, I'm glad somebody's paying attention here.
See, it's spirit talking to you. You're here with somebody.
But that in itself is you're creating a community, per se, that right. is built around this restaurant. You have really created something that people are holding close and dear to themselves, because first, the first thing that everyone holds close and dear to them is food. Right. You're not going to get any closer to anyone besides feeding them, because you're putting nourishment into their body
and making them happy.
Exactly. And then the next thing, obviously, would be their emotions and the I guess, aura all around
the
them and the power and energy.
It's energy. It's all it is. It's all the energy flows through there. It's positive. It feels good.
Yeah.
You have to come by. You have to witness it for yourself.
Well, I am.
You have to.
I'm certainly going to have
to. Then I'll pay for it.
You know what, having all the kids there too, not only like me and him working together, but having our kids there, and they're in their 30s and their 20s, to have everyone together working, it gets tense and it gets really intense, but to have the love that you can see between our family and other like customers will come up to us and say, "What a great family you have!" Makes you feel good, you know. It's a joint effort. It truly is. He wouldn't know what to do without us.
That is amazing. Lisa and Mike Lorenzo of Lorenzo's Ristorante Italiano, been named number one in Tacony. They're at 4741 Princeton Avenue in Philadelphia. They also have psychic medium event nights as well that Lisa does. It's a great time. Number one in Yelp 3 years in a row. Congratulations to you guys. It was a pleasure
having you
in studio. And I'm going to tell you one thing, Don. I'm having a little bit of energy myself, and I feel the powers of my psychic abilities. And I can tell that we have someone on the phone.
That's from the meatball you just ate.
And that someone we're very excited to have with us is Chef Mia Castro. She is a private chef and was the runner-up on Hell's Kitchen Season 18 of All Stars versus Rookies. And even though she was a rookie, she was the runner-up and also won the most amount of competitions in the show in its history. How's it going tonight, Chef Mia?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you?
We're fantastic.
Yes, we are.
So, as we mentioned, you're a runner-up. Congratulations to yourself. I'm sure that had to be quite an experience all in its own, not knowing what exactly goes on behind the scenes in that show, being a rookie going up against individuals who are in Hell's Kitchen for their second time. But you're mm-hmm. also a well-known and respected private chef. Can you tell us exactly what it is that defines being a private chef? Because we've had a couple private chefs with us before. DJ Khalid's mm-hmm. private chef joined us, but we've never asked the question of why do people need a private chef to begin with?
Well, you know, I think it's a matter mostly of convenience. You know, myself, when working all day, the last thing I want to do when I come home is cook. So I wish I had a private chef. But, but I think that's most basically what it's about, just convenience and ease in, you know, preparing meals and adapting adapting them to, you know, to people's palates and to people's different dietary restrictions, which is a little hard sometimes when you eat out.
And a lot of people think of a private chef as just for a decadent event where you're having a large group of people. But as you mentioned, a lot of people have to have private chefs because they may have a restricted diet or need have certain needs that they can't meet themselves due to skill sets or just don't have the time. And I think more and more people are moving into the private chef sector to be able to take care of those needs. I think it's becoming more well known. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would. And especially now with like meal prep and meal delivery, you don't necessarily have a private chef cooking for you in your kitchen every single day, but you have, you know, fresh, healthy meals stocked in your fridge. So it's, you know, for me, the clients that I've had, I work full time. I go to their house every day. I serve them. But, you know, for some other people that, you know, just want the convenience of food and, you know, the healthy food and can't necessarily afford to have someone there every day, then, you know, there's, you know, your meal prep and your meal delivery and that kind of thing.
Now, also, you grew up in Puerto Rico. Unfortunately, the hurricane hit there quite a few years ago, and I would say the vast majority of Americans are under the belief that, oh, it's not in the news anymore, so everything must be hunky-dory okay over in Puerto Rico. But that's certainly not the case. Do you still have a lot of family in Puerto Rico?
Yes, my entire family, except my mom, is there, actually.
Wow. Wow. And would you say conditions are improving on a daily basis, or does it seem as though it's still got a long road ahead of itself?
I think it still has a long road ahead, but, slowly but surely, it's coming back, and, you know, we're gaining our tourism back, and our hotels are open for business, and our restaurants, and the spirit of the people is better than ever right now.
And I would agree. I went to Puerto Rico a couple of years ago, and I had a wonderful time. Stopped by the rainforest, El Yunque, went around both coasts, and it is a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful country. But I will say one thing that me and my wife sort of had a saying while we were leaving was, no more mofongo for us. It seemed to me every single meal it was. And we enjoyed it the first one. Oh, this is great. Mofongo is very different. We enjoyed it. We should have. But then when you have it for 3-4 meals a day for 2 weeks straight, I was like, okay, no mofongo.
Listen, I'm Puerto Rican, and I don't have mofongo every day. And what I can say about Puerto Rican cuisine, it's definitely plantain heavy. Mofongo is a plantain dish. But, you know, our culture and our food, it's so diverse. You get food from the coast, and you get all this beautiful seafood and lobster and fish, and you go towards the center of the island, and, you know, you get your mofongo, and towards the holidays, you go into this area called Guabate, where you can get, like, beautiful roast, like, bit-roasted pork with, like, really crispy skin, pigeon pea rice, pasteles. Like, our food culture is very vast, and it's delicious.
And I would say,
and it's not just mofongo.
And I would agree with that. I mean, we were over exaggerating a bit, but it seemed as though every place
what I would do is every place I go to, I would always say, well, what's something you would recommend? And everyone automatically, because I'm foreign, and they go, oh, you got to make sure you have Mofongo before you leave. I'm like, oh, no. But everything I had there was delicious, and the variety of foods and all the exotic flavors from coast to coast were very different in all of the regions that we visited. But I would say the one thing that surprised me during your stint on Hell's Kitchen was that quite a few of the chefs didn't know what Mofongo was when you presented it for one of your dishes on one of the menus that you did. And I guess it's just from growing up in Philadelphia, a major urban center that we are blessed to be able to have so many different ethnic cuisines. I was familiar with it because of all the Spanish places in North Philadelphia, but that sort of took me by surprise that a lot of professional chefs in that episode didn't know what you were talking about. And I felt like grabbing the TV and saying, you don't know what it is. Come to Philadelphia. We got it here.
And listen, that's the reason why I made it. Like, throughout the whole show, I had been waiting for a good excuse to, you know, bust out the Puerto Rican move. And when I got into that final episode and I was, you know, told to create a menu, anything I wanted, I think it was like 8 different items or something, I really wanted to bring, you know, the Latin culture, especially Puerto Rican culture. And, you know, what more Puerto Rican than Mofongo?
Exactly.
And that's what I wanted to do. I want people to know our food and that, you know, we don't just make tostones and pork. You know, we have so much more, such a more vast food culture.
Yes.
And I want the world to see it. I want the world to know it.
And I would say that's probably one of the reasons why you were so successful. You had quite an eclectic menu. You were very creative in the dishes that you presented. And you could tell by the judges how impressed they were with the different flavors and the profiles that you were coming out with and presenting. And that's why you won the most amount of challenges in the show's history. That in itself speaks for your talents and how well you are able to execute not only the flavors of Puerto Rico and Latin America, but to elevate it to a level that well-known executive chefs and chefs around the world are wowed by it. How did that feel?
It felt amazing, and I always say I'm so grateful for Chef Ramsay because it was the first time in my career as a chef that I've been told to be as creative as I can. Because when you're a private chef, you know, you can't really cook what you want. I'm cooking for my client, so I'm adapting to their needs and their taste buds and palates and preferences. So I'm limited to that. And it's the same for restaurants. I've worked at restaurants as well, and I'm limited to, you know, the menu of the restaurant or the concept of the restaurant, and I'm not necessarily cooking from my heart and what I want to do. So this is the first time that I got a chance to do it. And I ended up surprising myself because I had never cooked like that. You know, I had never been told, you know, here's, you know, all the ingredients at hand, all the best equipment at hand, and whatever else you need, just let me know. You have 45 minutes, you know, use whatever you want, be as creative as you want. And you know, it felt amazing to do that, and even more to have Chef Ramsay like it and all these other chefs enjoy it. It was very validating. I'm so grateful for the opportunity at Hell's Kitchen and for Chef Ramsay.
That's amazing. And we were thrilled to have you join us. What do you think is the next avenue that you will take now that everyone knows how talented you are? We would say a well-known name in the culinary industry now. I will say that before this, I wasn't aware of what you were doing, but you are certainly on everyone's radar now and well-received, well-reviewed. Would you like to stay in the realm of television, go just become a private chef as you are doing now, or would you like to open a flagship restaurant of your own?
So for now, I will continue with my clients as a private chef, but I'm working on some projects for television and possibly a cookbook in the works as well. So I just ask all my viewers and my fans to kind of just stay tuned and hang in there until I start producing and putting out some content.
Well, we're happy to hear that because you were 100% entertaining. You definitely know what you're doing. You're talented. And we can't wait to see more from you. Chef Mia Castro, the runner-up of Hell's Kitchen Season 18. And please share any social medias or websites or any events you'd want to promote before you go.
So my Instagram is at Chef Mia Castro. And I will be cooking at the Saborea Food Festival in Puerto Rico. It's a culinary extravaganza. It goes from April 4th. Through 7. I'll be there every day, and then I'm doing a cooking demo on Saturday.
Fantastic. Well, we wish you the best of luck and have yourself a great time
in Puerto
Rico.
Yeah, good luck there, Chef.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. Have a great night. Man,
thank you. Bye-bye.
That was fun, Don.
That was great.
That's what she was always known for during this season, was very inventive and creative things and menus that she was bringing up. But we also have another individual online joining us who also has a creative and innovative menu to talk about. And that would be Tony Salvatore of Genuine Hank's Beverages. He is the co-founder, partner, and the chief customer officer for the brand. And he is the man who came and put together a promotion with Campos Deli in Philadelphia for a root beer cheesesteak.
Sounds
delicious.
Delicious, sweet.
Yes.
Savory.
Exactly. So, Tony, why don't you tell us a little bit about Hank's Beverages and this cooperation and joint venture that you have with Campos and even a couple other locations that are joining in with this promotion.
Yes, Thank you so much for having me, Derek. I appreciate it. And that's going to be a tough person to follow there. On.
we'll run a couple competitions your way and give you 45 minutes and see what you can produce.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. And we're really excited for National Cheesesteak Day, this promotion that we're running. And actually, it all started, first and foremost, Hank's, we've been around since 1995. We named it after my father, Hank. And we are Philly through and through. We've been in the beverage business for 60 years. And so we created the Hank's Beverage or Hank's Root Beer, June 95, like I said. And basically, one of the reasons was because root beer, It was born in Philly at the Centennial Exposition during the Centennial World Fair by Charles Hiers. So we decided that, okay, since root beer was born here in Philly and the cheesesteak was born in Philadelphia, we figured we would marry those two together and make it a celebration. And we decided to... first and foremost, do it for obviously the day itself on March 24th, but we have a lot of partners throughout the area. And one of our partners, Campos, has been, with us for over two decades now, serving our Hank's brand.
Wow.
And So they've been in business since, I guess, 1947. So, but the Campos, like I said, they've been great to me, and they've always come to me and said, hey, what can we do, to promote the brand, things like that. So we decided to do something different, and we decided to do a Hank's Root Beer marinade. Basically, we're putting together. We're marinating the cheese, the steaks in our root beer, and letting that sit overnight. And then also, I called my flavor experts, and they said, well, let's do something a little extra. So we decided to create a Hank's rub, if you will, a powder form of some of our ingredients, and also a tincture that we developed also from some other ingredients that we use in our brand. And that will also go into the mix, and then it'll go on the rub of the cheese of the steak itself. And then they, and then basically it creates this wonderful sweet and spicy cheesesteak.
Mm. I mean,
so, we're pretty excited.
It's like a match made in heaven.
Oh, it sure is.
And
it sure is.
How has the reception been from the partners who have deployed this? I just by listening to it, I would have to say it's been nothing but positive, because it's a very different twist to this cheesesteak that I'm surprised we haven't heard of before. Have you heard any feedback?
Yes, I'm not sure if there's. I haven't heard. I'm sure there's other. I know there's other people that marinate, you know, their steaks, whether it's in some other soda. I'm sure they've done it with root beers. I'm sure they've done it, but we've actually went that step further. You know, we actually developed some extra, like I said, the extra rub with the powder formulation from a couple of our ingredients, and another formulation that we added into it. So it is really something special, and you can only actually get it. It's only a limited edition cheesesteak at Campos, and it's from it started this past week, and it lasts right up into the end of the month.
Now, could you imagine that if the reception is of the extreme variety, that this could be a permanent fixture on their menu, or something that you would be offering to others, or even retail the dry rub?
I really think it has that possibility. You know, you like to think something like this will have legs, and we can continue to take this to the next level. So, and then maybe some of our other partners throughout the area and throughout the country. Who knows? We might be able to do something. But like I said, it's the Campos were very very generous in doing this for us, and like I said, they're great people, and they have some. I think they're actually doing it with their cheesesteak and their barbecue cheesesteak. So they're doing two of these limited edition Hank's Root Beer marinade cheesesteak.
Wow! And I'm gonna put this on the record. Oh, you want to say something, Don?
No. Now, when I was a little kid, we all went to grade school.
Is he still thinking about the cheesesteak and the
hamburger? That barbecue one threw me off a little bit. But I'm sure that would probably be great.
Well, barbecue and spice, you know, the spiciness and the sweetness really comes out. So it gives a nice sweetness to it. So I've actually tried both of them, and they're really good, really tasty.
Well, like I said, when I was younger, Campos used to be right across from my grade school, and we used to always stop in there, and I knew Mike's mom and dad pretty well, being a little brat that we were going in there, and the patience these two people had when you have 20, 30 kids come in all at one time asking for candy. Oh, give me some candy.
You weren't that kid who was throwing down all the pennies on the counter, Don. You were like, here you go, here's a dollar, count it yourself, see you later.
It was all the other kids, though. It wasn't you.
Yeah, it wasn't me. I was a little bit of a brat, but not that bad.
I'm sure all the retail, you'll see the kid walking in with the bag of pennies. Like, oh, no, this is going to take 3 hours to count this. But I will say, as I was saying, I will put this on the record. I, in general, I'm not a soda drinker, but I will put the but there. Hank's is a delicious product, and I would
very.
And I would say
thank
so. The last time that I actually posted Hank's on my blog was when I visited Love and Honey Fried Chicken, and they have a large selection of Hank's beverages. And it was a match made in heaven with DeFries. I would probably say any meal's a match made in heaven with Hanks, but you can tell with Hanks that not the major mass producers, that you put all that garbage and the preservatives and all that other stuff in it. It's good old-fashioned sugar cane and ingredients that you can pretty much know what you're talking about when you read the label. That's what I like about Hanks.
Exactly.
Is you're not getting anything crazy.
No. We're straight forth. We have some, you know what our bottles look like. They're you can't miss them. They're 12-ounce long neck bottles, a beautiful gold foiled label.
And the design
and
is great.
Not only, I guess, thank you. I have to give credit to our COO for that one. He was a big part of the design of the label and everything else. His name's Bill Dundon, so I give him a lot of credit for that.
I'll just take all the credit yourself. He's not listening.
I guess I failed to mention that not only are we partnering with Campos, but we're also celebrating National Cheesesteak Day, not locally and throughout the nation. We have some great partners throughout the area. I'm sure you're familiar with some of them, D'Alessandro's and Chubby's that are in the Roxborough Manayunk area, With or Without in Northeast Philly, also the American Pub in Center City, and then also out in Bucks County, we have Hoagie Express. So they're also partnering with us and doing some special events around doing a cheesesteak and Hank's Root Beer and offering some special deals on National Cheesesteak Day, which is March 24th.
And even nationwide.
And then we also...
This is why I love Philadelphia. This is why I love Philadelphia, because... It's going nationwide,
right.
Don.
Yeah.
It's going nationwide. You know, there are some great Philly transplants out there. So we have Philly Grill. They have a few locations down in Florida. They're participating in our poster campaign, offering cheesesteaks and our Hank's Root Beer on National Cheesesteak Day. We also have Big Tony's West Philly in Texas. He has four locations. He's participating.
I want to meet Big Tony.
Big Tony, he is a character. He's too funny. He comes right from West Philly. He used to have a place in West Philly, and he just took it right down to Texas, and he gets everything sent from the Philly area right into his location.
Wow.
And then we also have a big 19-store locations, Philly's Best out in California, that's also participating.
Nice.
So
getting a little bit of Philly flavor all around the nation on National Cheesesteak Day. Now, here's the big question that I always find for businesses who have succeeded as much as you have. You've become very successful. Do you remember the first business to buy a bulk shipment of Hanks?
Our first... Maybe not necessarily the bulk shipment, but when we first created our brand, our first location that received our brand in the Center City area was Moriarty's.
Really?
In Center City.
I would not have guessed
me
that.
Me neither.
The reason for that is because my family grew up in the beer business, and we had L&M Beverage Company. We owned L&M Beverage Company. My brother Frank, my brother John, and my father, Hank Salvatore, we basically had our distributorship, and we served a lot of the bars and restaurants in the area. And Moriarty's was a partner of ours for many years, a customer of ours.
Okay.
And they were probably our first ones to receive it in the city.
And now here's the next.
And we had a few Northeast delis and things like that.
Now here's the next difficult question is going to be our last one as well. Now, you may make a lot of people at Hank's angry. What's your favorite flavor if you could only have one?
It's our birch beer.
There you go.
Yeah, birch beer is good.
The birch beer is my favorite, but I think by far. and it is probably the root beer, but the birch beer is my favorite. I just like the the thing is, most people don't even know what birch beer is. You know, if you go out of these areas here, you know, Pennsylvania and
It's nowhere near as popular.
It's not.
But
it's just basically a regional variation of the ingredients. That's all.
Exactly. But Tony Salvatore, Genuine Hank's Beverages. Make sure you go to Campos and many of the other partnering locations nationwide for National Cheesesteak Day. Feel free to give us your website or social media or anything like that before you go.
Yes, our website is hanksbeverages.net, and then you can pretty much link on to our Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook from there, at Hanks Beverages for Twitter. So, and anybody who wants to give us a call, we'll help them out.
Perfect. Well, it was a joy talking to you. Have yourself a great night.
Yeah, thank you so much, Derek.
No problem. No problem at all. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
That was fun. As I said, I will say I'm not a soda fan, but I do enjoy Hanks. And like a lot of times you go to the restaurants and you get the soda from the fountain or whatever, and it comes out, it's like so watered down. I'm like, oh, what are you putting in that thing? But it's a premium product. It really is.
It's very refreshing as well.
I had the orange. I think it was orange cream soda.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So good. And then my son, he's only 6. So you let him have a taste of that. Then he loses his mind. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He has a sip. He's like, what's this garbage you've been serving me before, Dad? But, I mean, it's a quality product.
It is.
So what's your favorite flavor?
The birch beer.
Birch. Oh, yeah. Sounds like birch.
Ice cold with a nice hot dog.
Oh, Don's got the whole menu set. Yeah. So we've got someone else who will maybe help us with the debate of which Hank soda is the best. We've got online with us the most influential chef in Pennsylvania, as named by Cooking Light magazine, Chef Barbie Marshall. How's it going tonight, Chef Barbie?
It's going great, and cream soda by Hank's is the best.
She didn't even say my favorite. She just said the best.
The best favorite.
See, I like
it. It is.
There's just no argument there, is there, Barbie?
No.
But I don't know if you listened to the whole interview, but I think that...
What did you say?
I think... Well, I personally like the cream, the orange. The orange cream was good. Orange cream soda. But I like the idea of this Hank's root beer marinated cheesesteak. What are your thoughts on that?
A what?
A Hank's root beer marinated cheesesteak with a...
Is somebody in studio that brought up that idea? Or is
that was our guest, Barbie. They're having a special with Campos Deli. They're having for National Cheesesteak Day. It's a promotion.
Oh.
We'll send you one. Okay. Don't worry. What's hot and happening this week?
So it's not this week, but it's next week. I am going to be judging Dish It Up, which is Women Against Abuse's annual fundraiser for domestic violence. And I thought I would tell you all about it and where it is. It's the 11th year of the fundraiser. It's held at V, which is at 600 North Broad, which is just a little bit past Broad and Spring Garden, next to where South is, where Alaspina used to be. I think it's called Green Soul now. But the organizers of Women Against Abuse get together and put this fundraiser on. It's all female chefs in Philadelphia and the surrounding areas that cook against one another, and we judge it and pick the best dishes. Some of the best bakers in the area Also, we have prizes for entrees and dessert. And usually a signature cocktail was prepared by Philly's bartendrix, Katie Loeb, who we lost this year to cervical cancer. And so they're going to actually be doing a memorial for her during the competition also.
Hmm. And what is the judging criteria? Do you know, or you'll be told when you get to the event?
It's changing a little bit, I think, this year, but it's pretty strict. I mean, we judge based on appearance, taste, texture, just the theme, which is usually purple food, which can be complicating. Okay. If, 'cause there isn't a lot of purple food out there. But some people put that in, and that may have come out during the course of the years, but it's been a few years that I've been judging this, and I know that in past we did do purple food, but we may have, as judges, requested that they not do that anymore at some point, just because it was so – we got a lot of eggplant.
You've had your fill of eggplant.
So, yeah, we've had our fill of eggplant. So I think last year I think we saw a lot less purple food. But, you know, just yourself on a plate, as with any other cooking competition.
Well, it sounds like a great event, and we are happy to have you judging it. And I'm sure everyone who will be coming is in store for a fantastic night out. Do you have the website for anybody to get more information?
The website is womenagainstabuse.org, and you can find tickets there.
Perfect. Well, we appreciate you calling in. It's always a highlight. We hope that you do get some wonderful dishes to try out. And please keep us updated of who the winner is. And we will talk to you again on Sunday, March 24th.
Okay, I'll talk to you then.
Have a great night.
Night, Barb.
Bye.
That was a great show, Don.
It was a great show. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing a Hank's Root Beer Chicken Parm.
I think I'll
wheels are spinning.
I'll give it a try. I'll try at least everything once. that's the secret. Maybe a little Hank's in the espresso.
Yeah,
there you go.
Go D.
No.
Try everything.
Maybe.
But we'll go around the room.
One have Coke and and coffee.
There you go.
Sodas. So why not? It might work.
Never say never. That's what
Hank soda.
That's what you say in the business industry. Never say never. It's whoever offers the most money. But let's go around the room. Say your name in 10 seconds.
Lisa Lorenzo.
Mike Lorenzo.
Promote your business. At least you got 8 more seconds.
Lorenzo's Ristorante Italiano and the Heart of Tacconi. And I forgot to mention, we are cash only and BYOB.
Ooh, there you go.
That's a big... my name is Donato Marino with D&L Coffee Service. I can be reached at 215-365-5521 for all your espresso, cappuccino needs, home or professional machinery.
There you go. We also had John Howard Fusco, nightlife correspondent for the Courier Post. We just heard from Chef Barbie Marshall. We even had the privilege. It was a wonderful interview with Chef Mia Castro, runner-up of Hell's Kitchen Season 18. And it was very informative, and I enjoyed the interview with Tony Salvatore, Genuine Hank's Beverages. I'm Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com. We are Small Bites on WildfireRadio.com. Sundays at 6:35 p.m. We're syndicated on AM channels and a whole bunch of other things. If you're interested, Google it for yourself to find out, because I'm not going to tell you. And we end the show like we always do with a little twist this week, Don. We're going to start it with the legendary joke teller, Jackie the Joke Man Martlin, and then add it with a little quick joke from my man, Pots and Pans, Derek Tim Jr. Have a great night.
All right.
Hi, everyone. My name is Derek Tim Jr. on Small Bites. I have a joke for you. What has four wheels and flies? A trash truck. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Jackie Martling, and this is Small Bites. A guy reaches out of his apartment window to see if it's raining, and a glass eye falls into his hand. He looks up, and there's a woman looking down. He says, "Hey, is this yours?" She says, "Yes. Could you please bring it up to 36C? Well, he goes up, goes in her apartment, hands her the eye, and she says, I'm about to have dinner. Would you like to stay? He says, sure. After dinner, she says, you want to go in my bedroom and bang me? He says, do you do this with everybody? She says, nah, only the guys who catch my eye. Ha!